Thank you for listening to this podcast from International Living Radio. For 30 years, International Living has been showing people how they can live happier, healthier lives in some of the most beautiful places on earth for a fraction of what they pay at home. InternationalLiving.com, your source for living the good life for less overseas.
Hi, I'm Dan Prescher. Adele Aguirre and Nick Lavrov came at Merida, Mexico from completely different directions. But once this successful businesswoman and this established fine art photographer found each other in clean, modern, culturally astute Merida, the synergies were obvious. How could they not open one of the most successful modern art galleries in Merida? And that's just the tip of the iceberg for these two expats in Mexico. We'll find out what else Nick and Adele are up to in this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Adele Aguirre, Nick Lavrov, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It's a pleasure talking to you guys, especially since we're neighbors in Merida, and I haven't seen you for months now since we've been in Cotacachi. It's nice to catch up with you guys. How you doing?
Good.
Really good.
Thank you for having us.
Good.
And absolutely.
Nick, you are actually in Merida right now. Adele, you're in New York. And yes. I'm talking to you from Cotacachi, so through the wonders of modern technology, we're all able to meet up like this of a morning and have a good conversation. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Thank you. You know what? That's what makes it possible for us to live in to live outside of the U.S. too, the fact that we can all communicate. So
you're right. It makes a huge difference now. It's a different world than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago. This now makes all the difference in the world. I know because I know you guys from Merida have a wonderful life there, are in a beautiful business, and we'll talk about the Soho Gallery, your art gallery, in a minute. But first, I want to get to how you guys got to Merida in the first place. You guys didn't know each other before you individually came to Merida, so I'm interested in how you reached that decision individually. Adele, what was the process that you went through actually getting yourself to Merida from where you were before that?
Well, I was looked for years, I'd say about 12 years. After work, I'd spend my time looking on the internet for places on the water. I wanted to be on the ocean and loved Miami because everybody spoke Spanish and it was on the water, but I couldn't afford to be on the water in Miami. So I started looking for a Spanish-speaking country because I love Spanish, to just buy a place to get away to. And every time I'd find some place, by the time I got it together, everyone else found it.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I just would run out of money. And then I discovered the beaches in the Yucatan, and I spent 2 months really searching around and making phone calls, developing relationships, and just said one day, that's it. I'm not waiting anymore, because the longer I wait, the higher the prices will go up, and then I'll be back in the same position. And I flew down there, landed in Merida, and I don't know what it was. The moment I landed, I said, oh, yeah, this is it. This is definitely the place.
You got that gut feeling. Yeah, you got that gut feeling that many people do. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just searched for, I searched for a long time. I kept flying back and forth to find the perfect place on the water, which I did. And that's how I got introduced to Merida.
Uh-huh. So Merida was kind of your base of operations. I know that you had have a place up on the beach, but that was not the last property that you bought. You kind of went into buying and rehabbing distressed properties. But before we get into that, let me get to you, Nick. I know that you got to Merida via San Francisco, but that was not where you started. You have a long international history before that, don't you?
I do. I was born in Egypt of Greek parents. They moved to Australia when I was 7. And I spent the next 20 years of my life in Australia, in Sydney. In 1972, I moved to San Francisco, kind of on a trip around the world, which never eventuated because I ended up staying in San Francisco for the next 35 years. Mm. About 6 years ago, I took a trip to Merida, And frankly, I never knew the place at all. I'd had a friend living down here, and I thought, well, I'll just, you know, take a quick visit. Saw the place, fell in love, made five more trips down in that same year, and then the following year I bought a house, and here I am. I met Adele at a party, and turned out we had similar interests. We found this building in the centro, and we thought, hey, this would make a great gallery. And that was about 3 years ago.
2008, I think, is when Soho Gallery was established. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And, Nick, you're a professional fine art photographer, so that fit into your lifestyle in a natural way. Adele, what got you interested in the gallery business?
Well, I've been a collector. I have still have a company in the United States that I run. So, but I've always wanted to own a gallery. Plus, my house in New York was filled with art. I mean, I had so much art that literally there wasn't a wall space available. And because I've been a collector for years. And so when I met Nick and I saw his work and I fell in love with his work, and just thought, you know, this is perfect. His work is great. And then we started getting into meeting artists from around Mexico and from Cuba. And it's been a love of mine forever.
Oh, that's great. And so the synergies were obvious, as they say. You guys found the property near Centro and started the Soho Gallery. Am I pronouncing that right? S-O-H-O, yeah?
Yes. Soho after the area in New York, south of Houston.
South of Houston. Is there, I should ask you, is there a website for Soho Gallery? What's your website?
Yeah, Soho Galleries, plural, mx.com.
Okay, so Soho Galleries MX, all one word?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, SohoGalleriesMX.com. And you've been operating it for 3 years now and living more or less, at least you have, Nick, full-time in Merida. Adele, I know that you travel back and forth a lot. What has your experience been like running a business as Extra and Harrow's in Merida? Has Merida added or detracted from that experience for you, just the character of the city?
Merida has absolutely added to the experience. I mean, I can't think of a better place to do what we're doing. Of course, I haven't been everywhere, but in my experience, and we've traveled around, we've gone to other places, and I feel that this place really has a lot to add. When we finished renovating the building, people were coming in, and this is locals, were coming in and thanking us for helping to make Merida a prettier place.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really heartwarming. Speaking of warm, this is one of the things that Merida does very well, by the way.
Warm.
There's a lot of warmth here, not only the climate, but, of course, the people who live here. They're extremely friendly, very open, you know, very open to visitors and expats coming from other places. I don't feel any animosity whatsoever, which is, you know, I've noticed that in other places, but not Merida.
And it's a large enough city. I guess there are about 1 million people there in Merida. It's a large enough metropolitan area to support a gallery like you guys have. There's a lot of art, a lot of culture going on there. It's a very active city.
It's the cultural center of the entire peninsula, including Quintana Roo and the Yucatan. There's a fabulous symphony orchestra here. There's probably 10 or 15 art galleries, private art galleries, and then, of course, there's city art galleries, concert hall. I mean, there's a lot going on, and that's just in the centro. Most of the extranjeros, most of the expats, tend to live in the centro because it's the most colorful part of the city.
Right. But there the whole northern suburb scene is going on, and the entire scene out Paseo de Montejo, going up towards Progreso as you go through the city, very active and lively areas. Now, I know both of you guys have refurbished places in Central, the places where you live, but you've also branched out into buying and rehabbing properties just for the commercial angle. Is that right? Is that something that you're still doing, or have you kind of gotten out of that?
No, we've just bought a house, in fact, just closed last week, which as soon as the dog gets back from New York, we're going to meet with the engineer and work out some plans and rehab that. It's a fabulous property. It's in the southern part of the city, mm-hmm. near my house, which is in La Ermita.
La Ermita, a beautiful historic neighborhood in the central district.
Yes. It's between La Ermita and San Sebastian, which is another church close by. And it was two houses. I'm sure it started off as one house. It was split into two. Both parts were sold separately. And then we had bought one part a couple of years ago, and then we just bought the other half, and we're going to recombine them into one house again.
That is very interesting. And we hear from a lot of people who wonder if the international real estate market, the Mexican real estate market, the Merida market in particular, is still active and viable and a good place to buy. It sounds like you guys are still excited about the Merida real estate market.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's still vibrant. It's still, the places are still selling, you know, and I think the market in Merida for real estate is probably better than it is in the U.S. right now.
I'm absolutely sure you're right.
I'm sure. Yeah. That's not saying much. I'm here and things are really, really really slow. But you know what? I do think as baby boomers, the baby boomers age, we're going to see more and more people looking to places like Merida because the healthcare there is really good. The services are really good, you know, water, all of that. Literally all you have to do is just kind of go down there and start a life. It's not that big of a hardship to do. I think you're going to see more and more people moving there.
And it also has the advantage of being very close to the United States, a 90-minute right. flight to Houston or Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage of being cosmopolitan enough to have one of everything.
Well, I'll tell you, there's now something called the slow foods market, and I really do like to eat organic foods, and if possible, I'd love to, be a vegan. So, there's all kinds of health food stores opening up, the slow foods market. It's really coming into its own. It's grown a lot in that way since I've been down there.
Yeah. Now, because I know you guys, I am fairly certain that Merida will probably not be your last move. You guys are young and active and inquisitive, and I know that you've done a lot of research other than just Merida and Mexico. Is there something else in your future that you're looking at? Because I'm interested to know what's next on your radar.
Wow.
Good question.
Yeah. Do you want to answer
that? We love Ecuador. We love Ecuador.
Yeah.
We were down there last year for a few weeks, visited, you guys in Cotacachi, which we just loved.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any other place other than Merida, I think it's going to be somewhere in Ecuador, and we're thinking about Cuenca. In fact, we'd love to go down in the next few months and visit Cuenca and take a look around.
That's one of those places that has the advantage of being small enough to be very comfortable and have that small town feel, but also being large enough to support the kind of cultural and artistic community that I know that you guys are interested in.
We're very interested in doing some traveling, just mm-hmm. kind of, we opened the gallery, which done exceedingly well. We enjoy it. We love having the openings, having people come in. We're actually thinking about how we can do this so that we can travel. So we were thinking, hey, maybe there's somebody out there who wants a wonderful gallery with a living quarter. quarters upstairs with, you know, a terrace that, you know, an artist maybe could live and, you know, have a gallery downstairs. So we're kind of toying with that because we're both feeling like, okay, you know, we want to travel more. We just want to be free and just look around Mexico and Ecuador and South America in general.
And the gallery must be a huge responsibility to keep open and running to the standards that I know that you guys have, that I guess it's a matter of just getting freed up to do more of that traveling and exploring.
It is. I mean, basically, I'm personally a type A person. So there's, you know, if I have a business, it's all or nothing.
Right.
So, but it would be nice to just say, okay, we've done that. We love it. It's been great. And we can just do some more traveling and see what else we have on the horizon.
Yeah, you know, just got back from a road trip to San Cristobal in Chiapas, it's wonderful up there. I mean, it's the climate is a lot cooler. It's a very boutique-y little town with lots of visitors from all over the world, especially Europe. It's a wonderful little place. We want to do more of that. We want to do more traveling, road trips around Mexico.
Right.
But we also want to explore South America a little more.
Yeah.
I myself just got back from a trip to Costa Rica. Stayed with a friend there for a couple of weeks, and that was an eye opener. And I think that's going to be worth taking another trip down there to look around.
So you guys are right now trying to position yourselves so that you can do more of that. Let me ask you, as people who have started and grown a successful business outside the United States, what would be your biggest single piece of advice for anybody who's thinking about doing the same thing?
Well, I think the biggest piece of advice is don't listen to naysayers, because it really, and I've said that about every business I've ever started, and that is, you know, if it's your dream, you know, you should follow it. That's really just follow your heart and follow. Don't listen to what people say, because we had a lot of people tell us, well, what do you know about opening a gallery? You don't know anything about opening a gallery, and it's another country. And we both just said, hey, it's what we want to do, and, you know, we're just going to put in everything we can. And it's been super successful. The gallery's going great. And that's because we love it, you know, and we just didn't listen to what anybody said.
The results are obvious. The results speak for themselves.
Okay. As the humble artist in residence, I gotta say that Adele is the one that, with the business acumen, she's the one that really took the gallery from a building with some artwork in it and turned it into a thriving business.
Yeah.
Anyway, the effort that Adele has put into it, especially with the exhibits that we've had, the openings, they've been a social event that, you know, people come. We've had 150 to 200 people come to some of our openings.
And
that's really helped a lot.
And just let me add that these are cross-cultural events. These are not just events where the gringos show up to talk to each other. And these are actual Merida cross-cultural artistic events. And it's great to attend these things and see people interact in that way.
Yeah.
Right. And we also, whenever we can, we invite the artists to join us at the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had artists come from Cuba and San Miguel de Allende and other parts of Mexico just to be at the opening and meet the public and talk about their work.
Very cool. And your work is also on the website for the Soho Gallery. Is that right, Nick?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't keep it updated the way we should, but that's because nobody has any time to do that. but anyway, you can kind of get an idea of what we have. And I'll tell you one thing, Dan, we're going to follow you and Susan wherever you go. So you're stuck with us the rest of your lives, all right?
Fine with us. Absolutely fine with us. We had a great time with you guys the last time you were here in Cotacachi. Every time we get together and every time we travel, we have a wonderful time.
Absolutely.
Adele, Nick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Best of luck in whatever the future brings to you. And I have a feeling that we'll be meeting up ourselves again somewhere on the planet sometime very soon.
Sounds great.
Well, I hope very soon. I hope very soon. And Dan, thank you for having us. We really enjoyed it.
Cool. Thanks, you guys.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.